to the Air Force Memorial Show and Shine at the Anderson River Park Moose Grove on Saturday, September 24th from 10 till 2 p.m. This end-of-summer blowout event is free to the public and features your favorite Porsches, Corvettes, Mini Coopers, exotic supercars, and cars from the British Car Club. And be sure to get your mouth-watering tri-tip dinner for just $12. All proceeds support the Air Force Memorial Project. See you there!
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, New Time, Sunday 9 a.m. to noon.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, State of Jefferson. I hope I'll find you well this morning and doing okay. You know, special thoughts and concerns for our brothers and sisters all over the state that are suffering heavily from fire. They're getting it from, you know, the Mexican border all the way up to Lake County. I know the Clayton County fire, several people in Lake County lost their homes. I think a couple hundred homes lost. You know, down in San Bernardino, the Grapevine, all through there, there's hundreds of homes being lost, lots of fire damage, things going on. So our thoughts are with those people this morning. And our brothers and sisters in Louisiana that are under flood watch or flood warning and without food, without homes, and nobody's talking about it. Nobody's saying anything about it. When our president plays golf and, you know, we have people without homes, without food, without anything, and due to flooding and fire. So just wanted our thoughts and prayers to be with those people this morning as we get along. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to talk about this morning was land and, you know, who's responsible, things like that. Before we get into that, we're here with Wynn Carpenter. How are we doing this morning, Wynn?
Doing well. Good morning.
And how does the morning find the State of Jefferson?
Sunny and bright. Hopefully not too hot today.
Well, hopefully we're starting to slide on the downhill side of the heat things that are going on. And, you know, I haven't seen a summer like this since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. It's been a lot of years since I remember it being this hot. And the weird thing, usually when it's this hot, there's yellow jackets. I have not seen a lot of yellow jackets this year, which is weird to me. When it always seems like it's hot, there's meat bees, and they haven't been there. So, anyways, random brain fart this morning. So, we were getting going, do we have a date yet for the next assembly?
Well, we're working on getting the contract confirmed, and as soon as we have that, then we'll release the date and location.
But we are still looking at very early middle of October.
Probably the middle to the latter part of October.
Yeah. Middle to the latter part of October. So yeah. I hope everybody's ready and prepared, excited for that.
Yep.
You know, those of you that were there at the first one, you've got an idea of what you're in store for. And, you know, this time, instead of the ideas of what to do with the committees, it's going to be the committees bringing forward their ideas and getting those things going. And
hopefully everybody's working on their stuff right now, because
I've been watching some of the communications back and forth. There's some people very feverishly going at it.
Yep. And not waiting for the next assembly to do the work.
Nor should they be.
No, absolutely not.
No, they are now authorized, invested with the power that they created themselves, because they are the people.
That's right.
And that's some of what we're going to be discussing today is, well, who gives the authority? Who granted? You know, it's like that old AC/DC song, Who Made Who?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, we're going to get into a little bit of that, because I've heard some distortion and some wrongful conversations on both sides of the argument. And it's like, okay, well, let's go back to the rule book that was left to us.
Yep.
What does it say exactly? And it's pretty clear. And I the next person I think I hear say it's open to interpretation, we're going to have a private discussion about it, because it's not. It's in plain English. And if there's a word that you don't understand, you go to a dictionary and you look up the meaning of the word, because that's the rule book for the words in the rule book.
There you go.
And you have to go back to the rule book that they used back then to understand it. You can't change the meaning of words and change a contract.
Right.
You know, I can't go and get a contract with an employee and say, you know, I will pay you X amount of dollars a month, and then go, oh, yeah, by the way, the meaning of the word pay means you give me now.
Yeah, there you go.
You can't do that.
Nope.
And that's what they try to do to change these things. But that's some of what I wanted to talk about and things like that. And there's a lot going on with the fires, and every time that comes up the discussion of the mismanagement of lands. Who's doing it? Is the state doing it? Is the federal government doing it? Is it just natural phenomenon and, hey, we live in California, we deal with earthquakes and fire?
Yeah.
No. So there's a question of that. And really the understanding is who owns the land? Well, according to the Constitution, and the Supreme Court has affirmed this many, many times, the state is responsible for the lands within its borders, its waterways, its navigable waterways, the soils underneath, all of it. Okay? So can the federal government exercise any authority in a state?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. If they are granted permission by that state.
Exactly.
Okay? Can they manage lands within that state?
Yep.
Absolutely. Do they have the authority to arrest and enforce law on those lands?
Yep.
If granted by the state, they do. So I've heard the argument, oh, the federal authorities have no authority, I don't recognize their authority. Well, your state does, which constitutionally grants them authority to exercise law. And then I've heard the argument, well, the federal government owns the lands, they can do what they want on them. No, they don't.
Yep.
Okay. They can purchase land from a state for use. And that's defined in the Constitution what they can purchase land for. Mm-hmm. They can also lease land. They can also be contracted to manage land. Okay, and the tricky word that most people gloss right over is it says that the federal government is not allowed to have exclusive rights of legislation except 10 square miles around Washington, D.C. Exclusive is the key word there.
Mm-hmm.
They can create law. They can create regulations on land, but they cannot do it exclusively. They can't be the only ones doing it. The state has to be involved. The county has to be involved. Those of us that have been involved with coordination understand that concept mm-hmm. very well. They can't just arbitrarily come in and go, this is what this is.
Right.
And the state, within its own borders, has the right to revoke that federal law unless it is enshrined in the Constitution. So I'm going to clarify that and clean it up a little bit and get into that today. But I think it's very understanding. It's very important that as we move forward with our constitutional precepts and the things that we're doing, that, again, we have a fundamental understanding of the contract, of the law, so that we can create a better union, so we can create a more functional concept. You know, because at the end of the day, why didn't 50 states just go, hey, we adopt the Constitution as our Constitution and move on from there? Why didn't the states do that? Because there are powers that are... Sorry about that. There's a phone. I left it on. Because there are powers that are reserved to the state in the Constitution, and the state constitutions have to exist as what rights do the states exercise and what do they leave to the citizens? Because there's very definitive what the government can never supersede from the citizens, whether you're a city government, a county government, state, whatever level of government, there's a whole list of things they cannot do no matter who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a list of things that the federal government is unable to do. The rest is reserved to the state to decide. If the state doesn't adopt those powers, they're reserved to the individual citizen.
There you go.
And we need to understand that progression and that concept.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a lot to absorb. But I think it's very important, and we're going to dig into that after our first break. If you guys have any questions or comments, as always, 530-605-4567. Free Fire Radio for the North State.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. We're doing a lot of heater upgrades, so if you think you want to try a new on-demand kerosene water heater or a Toyo heater, give us a call before winter. We can give you a free estimate. Robin down in Corning is very busy with all the truckers, farmers, with the ag season in full swing. Joe in Weaverville got his new awning up and all the lights are working for all the early birds. The Redding plant is selling a lot of ethanol-free 93 and a whole lot of barbecue bottles. And if you need a forklift tank, we got some of those in now. We have a lot of bulk oil in your container or ours, and we're open on Saturday till 3:30 at the Redding plant. Northern Lights Energy, everything from race car fuel, motor oil, Red and Clear diesel, and gasoline. In South Redding, we have the Muse Card Lock. Corning, Weaverville, and Redding, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Come on down to the Air Force Memorial Show and Shine at the Anderson River Park Moose Grove on Saturday, September 24th from 10 till 2 p.m. This end-of-summer blowout event is free to the public and features your favorite Porsches, Corvettes, Mini Coopers, exotic supercars, and cars from the British Car Club. And be sure to get your mouth-watering tri-tip dinner for just $12. All proceeds support the Air Force Memorial Project. See you there.
Holiday Harbor, we've got it all for you. But we're more than just great houseboats. We have the vacation you have been looking for without the drive or airport hassle. Fishing boats, patio boats, 47-foot party cruisers, wakeboards, jet skis, and stand-up paddleboards. If it floats or you can pull it behind a boat, we probably have it for your enjoyment. Visit Holiday Harbor, exit 695 of Interstate 5, or go to LakeShasta.com. Holiday Harbor, your own vacation in town.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Back to the Jefferson State of Mind, and that is a good song for this morning, is because who made who? Who actually came first? Because first, what were we? We were colonies that were incorporated and granted land by the Crown of England. The King of England, who laid claim to certain parts of the New World as his and the exclusive dominion of the British Empire and the King, issued grants of land to certain colonies to operate and function within and with certain oversight of government to operate themselves as fingers of the British Empire, okay, and operate within British common law and things of this nature, and they were allowed to incorporate, you know, to a certain extent, their own forms of government and things like this. And so that's where we began from, okay, is initially we were granted the land from the crown, okay? And as things progressed, as most of us know, eventually we had our rights and our representation in the colonies usurped. And the government became ever more willing to impose its will unilaterally on the people, exclusive of the protestations of the people, the representatives of the people. They were ignored. And Parliament, for a large part, in England was ignored. If you look at what's going on in Parliament itself, they urged the king not to be so tight-fisted with the colonies. The Parliament of England actually fought for representation. There was a great many English legislators that said, give them representation, and this rift will not occur, this fight will not occur, and the king would not listen. He proved the tyranny of monarchy, and that eventually led to the revolution. So you have colonies that were based on a grant from a king that are basically taking the land grant of the king and saying, look, we're free and independent. We no longer recognize your authority. We're incorporating this land under our authority, our power. We are going to call ourselves states. So first came the colonies, then came the states. Then for 10 years after the revolution is won, those states operated as a confederation. They were a confederation of states under the Articles of Confederation. And they found that form of government not valid, not good to the best interests of the people, not able to be conducive to the best interests of the nation. So the states got together and abolished the first federal government. Therefore, not only affirming and securing themselves the right to do so, but they did it. Okay, so you can make the argument very clearly that the states can abolish the form of federal government that we have anytime that we choose and form a new one. We can throw the old government, the old rule book right out the window and come up with a new one. We as the states could scrap the Constitution if we so decided, and make a new one. That's what a lot of people are talking about a convention of states for. They want to alter the Constitution. They want to change the Constitution. I myself have some issues with the concept of the convention of states, because I believe that the people that are screwing up the Constitution now are the people that would be sent with the authority to change and permanently alter legally the Constitution. That's a concept that scares me, such as, who would California send with the authority to change the Constitution? Kamala Harris? Jerry Brown? Barbara Boxer? There's a long list of... No, not okay.
Gavin Newsom.
So, but that exactly. So, that's a whole different concept. But very clearly, we as the states have the right to alter or abolish our form of federal government because the states came first. Mm-hmm. Okay? The states are supreme, except for the powers that they agreed to surrender to the federal government. Okay? So they did, in incorporating it for their mutual defense and their beneficial welfare, the states agreed amongst themselves that we will cooperate with each other in such and such a manner and such a way, and we collectively surrender these rights and authorities to the federal government. But by the way, don't forget, we can change that anytime we want. Okay? So that is the form of government that we have operated under going on, 250 years now. Mm-hmm. So through those periods, the federal government has overcrept its bounds. Okay, it has exceeded its constitutional authority. We especially see it over the last couple of decades. We especially see it out here in the West. We see where they have exceeded their authority, undeniably exceeded their authority. Yet we can't run around and make the argument that they're doing so illegally because the states who have the supreme power within their own boundaries have not put a stop to them. Okay? So you can't run up to federal officers of the federal government and go, hey, you're in defiance of the Constitution. You can't touch me. I'm not going to comply with you and not get arrested, because your state will not defend you.
Right.
And that's the key point that everybody needs to get through their heads. Has the government exceeded their constitutional authority?
Yes.
Have they been granted that ability by the states?
Yes.
Okay, and that's where the problem is. That's the biggest, one of the biggest arguments for the state of Jefferson, is because we will form a state that will defend you from the federal government, that will push the federal government back within the guidelines of the Constitution, as is the state's authority to do so.
And that's interposing.
That is interposition. That's understanding jurisdiction. That's understanding all of that.
Yep.
So when I say I've heard wrongful arguments from both sides, when people say, well, the federal government hasn't exceeded their constitutional powers. Oh, yeah, they have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bad. Bad.
Yes.
They don't have, then from, you know, our side of the argument I hear all the time, and they don't have a right to do so. Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Because they've been granted that right by the state.
It's misunderstanding on the extremes.
It is.
You know, people wanting to stand up and be rebellious, if you will, but they don't have the understanding of what they're rebelling against, because they're rebelling against their own state in which they reside in.
Yes.
So the laws that apply to their residential state. So that's where they have to be careful.
Well, that's a lot of people say, you know, is your fight over the lands not with the federal government? No, it's not.
Mm-mm.
Okay, because the federal government is not breaking the law.
They're using the law.
They're using the law.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they're doing this is the carrot and stick technique, where they are taking tax funds unconstitutionally because they are to be apportioned directly amongst the states. Our taxation is to be legally equal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when they distribute funds that are unequal back to states, or they take funds, that is an illegal form of taxation according to the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
The taxes are supposed to be apportioned among the states equally. But again, they are not following the constitutional method. Are they doing so illegally? No, because the states are allowing it. This is what we have to get through our head, and why it's so important that we have a new state. Because in your wildest imaginations or dreams, will California ever stand up against that federal authority?
No.
California is tripping over itself, attempting to surrender federal authority at every avenue that it can.
Exactly. Yep.
And it is also working itself to exceed the federal constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is it surrendering its own sovereignty and its own rights to the federal government at a rapid rate, it is working to violate our constitutional rights. The gun laws, you know, the forced vaccinations, the unequal taxations, all of these things are violations of the United States Constitution and the state constitution.
Yeah.
Does the federal government violate the state constitution of California?
Yeah.
Daily. Daily.
Yep.
Does our state do anything to interpose?
No.
Not a thing. So this is one of the reasons that we have to have the state of Jefferson, so that we have a strong state government willing to interpose and to hold them to the constitutional boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it is so critical that as we move forward with the formation, we enshrine in our state constitution that we will do that. Not that we have the option to do that. Not that we have the ability to do that. That's already affirmed in the constitution of the federal government. But in our state level government, we need to affirm that we will. We shall.
Mm-hmm.
They shall not.
Right.
So that needs to be understood. And that was one of the things that was just kind of weighing on me, is the last couple of weeks I've heard a lot of this. And I'm just sitting there going, no. You guys are getting it wrong. And it's very dangerous to get it wrong from the word jump, because
yep.
we're going to enshrine something that is incorrect
yep.
from the beginning. So with that, we better get ourselves off to the bottom of the hour break here. And again, if you have any questions or comments, calls, concerns, want to tell me I've fallen out of my tree and bumped my head, we're here, 530-605-4567, Community Radio for the North State.
politicians. Praise the Lord, we're all between perdition and the deep blue sea. Yes, the sky pilot said it, you've got to give him credit for a son of a gun of a gun to rise.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
The goodies, the gadgets, the gizmos. Every week, Boomer Tech Radio talks about the innovations and the developments in technology that are impacting your life. Hi, it's Bob Belongi, and for the past 6 years, Brenda and I have brought you the tech news you can really use. Sponsored by Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. It's analog living in a digital world on Boomer Tech Radio, heard noon to two Saturdays or streaming anytime on KCNR 1460.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Song from the state of Jefferson. It is. It's a great song. We're gonna have to add that to the canon of music here.
The '70s were a great time. Laverne and Shirley. Hello.
Yeah. Back when things were normalish.
Yeah. Yes. Schott's Brewery, of course.
So we're here discussing the progression of the federal government versus the state government and the different things, and understanding some of the core concepts that we need to form the proper form of government in the state of Jefferson as that comes about. Now, one of the things that's very important here is at the end of Article 1, Section 8, of the Constitution, is it's clearly defined what Congress has the authority to do when it comes to lands. Okay, the Congress has the authority to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district, not exceeding 10 square miles, as may,
by secession of particular states and the acceptance of Congress become the seat of the government of the United States. Okay, so within the 10 square miles of the land that was seceded by several states to become Washington, D.C., the Congress has the right to create exclusive legislation. Nobody else gets to create legislation there, just the Congress. They're the only ones that can pass law for that 10 square miles. Okay? And to exercise like authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state in which the same shall be. Okay? So any place that the federal government has purchased, leased, whatever, has a degree of property ownership granted to them by the state, they get to exercise exclusive legislative authority.
Okay.
Okay? Now, that is defined as for their erections of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings. Okay? Military bases. Congress gets to exercise supreme legislative authorities over those places and any other lands purchased by the federal government. The states can sell land to the federal government. And to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers and all other powers vested by this Constitution in the government of the United States or in any department or officer thereof.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the Constitution grants them the power to make any laws necessary and proper for carrying into force the Constitution in those lands where they have exclusive right to legislate, and they incorporate that power into any department or officer of those departments as incorporated by the Congress. So when you say BLM doesn't have any authority, yeah, they do. When you say the Forest Service doesn't have any authority, yes, they do. But that's because Congress has incorporated them with those powers because the states have surrendered those lands to the federal government. But the key part to understand is that at any time, the states can revoke that. They can go, okay, the lease is over, the land ownership is over, you're done. Mm-hmm. The only thing that the federal government can own in perpetuity, in definite time unending, is Washington, D.C. Anything else is done exclusively with the permissions of the state until the state legislature decides that is no longer the case. They can kick the feds out.
Right.
But until such a time, because they have surrendered that land, the federal government has exclusive rights of legislation over that land. And that needs to be understood. So, do we have a caller, Bob?
Yes, we have Mark Baird on the line.
Oh, good.
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Morning. How you doing?
Good. How goes it?
How you doing this morning, guys?
So far, so good. And you?
Good. Oh, pretty good. Yeah, I just called in to talk about Jefferson for a minute, if you got time.
Absolutely.
We do.
I think that it's important for everybody to understand that we have a policy statement that I've been writing and going back and forth with the attorneys over and got that finished, and that's just about ready to go out. And we'll have also at our next assembly, we'll talk about our policies for the state of Jefferson. In other words, what it is we hope to achieve with our state. And that will also, I hope, be the basis for our Constitution, because it outlines the steps toward the liberty that we do not have in the state of California. But I also wanted to touch upon the federal authority within a state based on the equal footing doctrine and some of the case law that has occurred to date, Pollard Lessee versus Hagen and Coyle versus Smith. And it is important to note that there also is a Supreme Court case, and that was Sheriff Mack's case a long time ago, that states cannot be compelled to enforce federal law, but states cannot prevent federal government from enforcing federal law within a state. And that also crosses the jurisdiction of a county sheriff. So these are really complex issues because of case law, and a lot of people think that common law is English common law, and it's not. That's a misnomer and a misunderstanding. Common law in the old days used to be law that made common sense. In other words, it was common sense during the years just after the Magna Carta, it was considered common sense that you can't take a man's property because it's his. And it was codified in the Magna Carta and the English Charter of Rights and four or five other documents through history. But common law has been redefined in the United States. And common law in Black Law's dictionary is defined as law that issues from the court. In other words, we've taken the common sense out of law, and it is now law that comes from the courts, in other words, case law. And that's why the Constitution has become irrelevant in the course of business for the United States of America and certainly for the state of California. And in fact, common law is so misused in the state of California that even the governor has given directives to the legislature, pass whatever bills you want, we'll let the courts sort them out. And that's important because the concept of courts in the minds of the founding fathers, and you can read the Virginia Declarations and the Kentucky Resolutions to flesh this out, and also Federalist 78, was that courts were designed to be the weakest branch of government because they hold neither the power of the purse or the power of the sword. The power of the sword belongs to the executive. The power of the purse belongs to the legislative. The power of arbitration belonged to the courts. However, it was never meant for the courts to decide legislation or make legislation. It was only for the courts to interpret legislation. So we've come to a place now where common law, which is law that issues from the court, has replaced legislation. And the governor of California certainly uses that because he knows, as Sir Edmund Coke knew, that all courts are corrupt. And they're not corrupt because of the people in them. They're corrupt because the judges know who signs their paycheck. So courts in California are certainly corrupt. The Ninth Circuit is certainly corrupt. It's one of the worst circuit courts in the United States. And it is the most overturned circuit in the United States. But what we have a situation in Northern California now, not only lack of representation, but we have intentional subjugation through common law. And those are things we hope to change with the Constitution of Jefferson, but it's only with an educated populace that we can make these things count and make them stick. People have got to educate themselves, and that's part of our mission, too, is to educate themselves as to what constitutional authority a state has, what constitutional authority a state doesn't have, what authority a federal government has and doesn't have. And those things are so important, and those are some of the issues that we want to address at the next assembly.
Hey, Mark, I got a quick question for you, something I was going to touch on our last segment you actually brought up was the equal footing doctrine, whereas when we enter into the Union, we enter into an equal footing as one of the original 13, correct?
It's not so much an equal footing. It is, in other words, when states enter the Union, they have an Enabling Act. That's the piece of legislation that actually creates a state. California has one as well. I have it in my documents. I read it frequently. And those equal footing, those Enabling Acts contain a sentence that they've contained since, I think it's 1839, when Alabama first became a state, and the equal footing doctrine was literally forced onto the federal government by the United States Supreme Court. And what it says is that all states that enter into the Union enter with equal sovereignty, and here's the good part, to the original 13. Equal sovereignty to the original 13.
So that would mean that any common law or case law or anything that has occurred post the original 13 colonies, we would not be directly subject to, because as equaling with equal sovereignty of the original 13, all of those laws would be surreptitious because they occurred after the creation of the 13 colonies and the original 13 states.
Yeah, I see,
correct?
Where you're going with that, Robert, and although in principle I agree with you, here's the rub. We are subject to laws that have the purse and the sword behind them. In other words, we may not be legally subject to them, but we're certainly subjected to them because the people who are oppressing us have the power of the purse and the power of the sword. And they're using those two things against us just as they did in 1861 with the southern states. I mean, there's nothing provisionally in the Constitution, no matter how much you hate slavery, and I do, believe me, hate that, But no matter how much you hated that concept, there is no there is nothing in the Constitution that, says states can't come and go as they please with a vote of the people that live in those states. However, the power of the sword prevented that secession from occurring. Now, that's real. Is it legal? Well, you know, we can argue that till the cows come home, because it was a fact because of the power of the sword. And the power of the sword and the power of the purse are used against us every day in the state of California. And those are the kinds of things that we hope to avoid in the Constitution of Jefferson. We want to maintain sovereignty for the people in a community. We want to maintain sovereignty for the individual. And we want to have a constitution that will keep the power of the purse and the power of the sword from subjugating those people. But equal sovereignty is certainly an important concept, and it's a concept we can use to guarantee liberty for our people, because we will have a state government with the backbone to enforce that sovereignty. That's the key. The power of the purse and the power of the sword will have no effect on our state government, because we will have the backbone to resist those things.
Yes, that's one of the fundamental things that people need to understand, is that is one of the biggest planks in the platform that we're after, is our sovereignty, and we have the ability to enforce that sovereignty, and we very well can make the argument that our sovereignty is at the basis beginning of the original 13 states.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because, you know, I love the Constitution of the United States. I love the United States of America. I don't want Jefferson to depart from that, because it's the greatest form of government ever invented by man, and as Webster said, miracles do not tend to cluster, and what's happened once in 6,000 years is not likely to happen again. However, what we need to do is we need to put the cork back in the bottle, because there is an unbridled expansion of power far, far beyond what the framers intended in the Constitution of the United States. You know, our government was meant to be a three-legged stool, I guess, if you will. And the states had power because the states elected senators. The people had power because they elected representatives to the House of Representatives. And then the federal government had its own power with the checks and balances instituted in the Constitution of the United States. Now, here's the problem. If the stool isn't pretty level at the top, liberty slides off it, because liberty sits on top of that stool. If one of the legs is way too long or way too short, then the stool ain't level, and liberty is the first thing that goes. Yeah. And that's what we want to do, is restore that balance so that liberty will sit on top of a level playing field for all the people all the time, no matter what your race, creed, color, so on and so forth. Liberty applies to everybody, but you got to have a level playing field, and we don't have, because we don't have representation.
Absolutely. And, you know, for the formation of the state of Jefferson and the ability to come in such a fashion is almost the ability to hit kind of the reset button in a manner, and kind of not completely, but in a way start over and make sure that we learn from the mistakes made in the past to secure that liberty, correct?
Well, yeah, that's very true. Well put. And it's interesting, because I remember, I don't have TV, so I don't watch sports or anything like that, but I remember when I was a kid and we played football, and the coach would always tell us, you know, we'd get these fancy deals, the double reverse and the Statue of Liberty play and all this, and then essentially we'd get to a point where we got too clever and we'd get our rear ends handed to us. And one thing the coach would always say is, you know what, guys, we need to get back to basics. A good clean snap of the ball, a good run play up the middle, around the edges, blockers block, runners run, you know. In other words, we need to get back to the basics of common sense government, and we need to realize that there are areas in people's lives. And I think Judge Napolitano put it best, because he said, where did we lose the right to be left alone? In California, you have no right to be left alone. The government is in every single aspect of your life, whether you want them or not. They're, you know, they know you still have a nickel buried in the backyard somewhere. They're trying to get it. Service taxes are coming. The legislature passes 500 laws in less than an hour. I wonder how many of those everybody read. I mean, the governor is in your pocket. He's in your gun safe. He's in your cupboard, for gosh sake. I mean, we need to get back to the point where people have the right to be left alone, and where there are areas of their life where government has no authority and has no intrusion. That's what Jefferson represents. And you know, I know the word liberty, there are certain words that the left has co-opted because they're dangerous words to them. But we want to change that conversation so that the word liberty deserves a place of honor on every mantle in Jefferson, and that people are educated in the ways of liberty from the moment they enter school so that they can protect liberty for the next generation. That's what Jefferson's about. You know, I don't want to get too tricky here. Yeah, there are a lot of constitutional concepts that we could explore, and there's a lot of case law, and in my opinion, case law is only as important as the judge on the bench, because the next idiot is going to change it to some other case. But what we need to do is demand liberty, not take no for an answer, and create a state where there are areas in your life that the government has no authority.
As many as possible.
Agree. Yeah, I agree. As many as possible.
Hey, Mark, I want to thank you for calling in. We got to roll off to our last break, and thank you for calling in and clarifying some of that. Appreciate
it. Thanks a lot, guys, and you're having a great show, and I appreciate you.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Mark.
Bye.
And we are going to our last break here. We got just a couple minutes left. If you got questions or comments, give us a call, 530-605-4567.
Respect, you feel like an insect. Well, don't you worry, buddy, cause here he comes through the ghettos and the barrio and the barry and the slum. His shadow is cast wherever he stands. Stacks of green paper in his red right hand.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken, and the time has come for 51. Please visit soj51.net. And donate now to show your support.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, New Time, Sunday, 9 a.m. to noon.
Dandelion, unique gifts and clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
Here's some important information from REU, Reading's electric utility. REU recognizes how utility costs affect our customers. We would like to take this opportunity to remind our customers that we offer special programs like our Lifeline and Lifeline Plus programs for income-qualified customers. REU also offers other customer assistance programs. For more information, visit us at reupower.com or call us at 339-7200. REU and you, powerful together.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Throwing faith in the fire, it's time to go. Live free or die trying, gonna justify my soul. I broke the silence, I walk alone. Made friends with darkness, out here digging a hole. Every now and then you let what you something waiting that cannot be found, tied to the chains of what's going in the ground. Right now I'm strong, but I'm not naive. One day this could be the death of me.
Well, welcome back to the Jefferson State of Mind. We've got just a couple minutes left here, so we're going to grab our next caller very quickly. Ron, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, Ron.
Good morning. I've got a question about supposing the federal government doesn't want to relinquish the power that they have. For instance, the U.S. Forest Service, as far as I'm concerned, they've got an iron fist. And supposing, okay, today's opening day of bow season, so somebody's out there in the woods hunting, and the Forest Service comes along and says, hey, you know, you've just crossed the gate, and you're not supposed to be out here. And anyhow, they've got the gun, they've got the badge, and they arrest you, and they take your bow away from you, or your gun, whatever you got. They handcuff you, put you in their patrol pickup, and then they call a tow truck to tow your vehicle off and take you off to the jail. So, anyway, how would the state stop them from doing that? Because now that they've got your pickup, or whatever you got, you're going to have to pay the tow fees and pay to get it back, and they're probably going to take you to court, and you're going to have to pay a fine. So I just wonder how the state of California could stop them, because they do have so much power.
Well, the state of California, number one, could cancel their authority to carry out state and federal laws. They could revoke their rights to operate within the sovereign domains of the state. They actually have the authority to cancel their law enforcement powers. What the law states is that they have to be incorporated by the state to carry out state law.
If they decide they don't want to accept that and they still go on arresting people,
depending on how far you go down that rabbit trail, yeah, it is a different kind of fight. With the proper state authority, if you have federal agents that are out there without authorization arresting people and doing things like that, that's actually against Title 18 of the United States Code, and you have individuals that are operating to deny people their constitutional rights, which is actually a crime punishable by death under certain circumstances. So you can authorize your sheriff to actually arrest the federal authorities. If it gets worse than that, you can call out the National Guard. You can call out the militia. There's several things within the state's authority to deny the federal government that power. Hopefully, it would be able to be done legislatively and correctly with the Constitution. But absolutely, a free and sovereign state would be within their domain to cancel the law enforcement authorities of the federal government. If the federal government no longer recognizes that, then they are superseding the Constitution and are guilty of treason.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you.
You know, hopefully it never comes to that level. There's some of us that have those questions, and I think rightfully so, the way that the government has exceeded its authority. But we do have to follow the process. We do have to follow the concept of, number one, that authority has to be canceled. Number two, the jurisdiction to operate within the sovereignty of the state has to be revoked. And then in that case, they have no right or legal ability to be there. Then they're just criminals running around like, a Mexican cartel comes into Texas and they're driving around in an official-looking vehicle and have a fake badge. Does that mean that they get to do it?
Nope.
Because the physical ability to enforce law is no longer incorporated in those officers. So, something that we need to understand.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we will see you next week, and
who knows where we'll be going next week.
There you go.
It'll depend. But I hope you guys learned and understood some of what we were trying to get through today, and we'll see you next week.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Greg Clugston in Washington.
It's being denounced as a barbaric attack. A suicide bomber attacked an outdoor wedding party in Turkey, killing at least 50 people and wounding 70 others. Turkey's president says the suicide bomber was between 12 and 14 years old. He blames ISIS for the attack. The U.S. ambassador to Turkey is pledging solidarity with the country in the fight against terrorism. In Iraq, correspondent Susanna George reports there's been a lot of controversy surrounding the executions of 36 men deemed responsible for the massacre of hundreds of soldiers in 2014.
We heard from a local official that some of the men who were executed were believed to be innocent, that they were believed to not even be at the scene of the crime when the Spiker massacre occurred, and that torture was used to extract confession.